Welcome and good evening. KVSC presents the Granite City Radio Theater. It is brought to you in partnership with the Pioneer Place on 5th. The Granite City Radio Theater is brought to you with the support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, as passed by Minnesota voters in 2008. So thank you. And thank you to KVSC listener members who support your Sound Alternatives programming all year round. And now your hosts for the evening, Eric Webster and Tina Van Herr.
Nice.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody, to the Granite City Radio Theater. I'm Eric Webster, and this lovely lady next to me, this is Miss Tina Van Herr, huh?
Thank you.
Now, Tina, and I've had the privilege many times of being on stage with Miss Van Herr. We started together in theater. We met at doing Tony and Tina's wedding down in the city, right?
Yeah. Hayes City Theater.
You were you ever Tina? I don't remember if you were ever Tina.
No, I'm way too old for that business.
What did you play in that?
I should remember.
I was drinking.
Sure. Well, who wasn't? I played Mama, and I played Aunt Rose, and everyone played a caterer at some point.
Right.
So
you worked your way up through the ranks of that show.
Right? Yeah. Yep. I ranked it right up.
What?
Who said that?
And now, what are you doing these days?
Well, these days, I am a mother of four, as you can see by my physique. I was in the Legends Live Band at the Holiday Inn for about 5 years, lead singer. Yeah.
All right.
Good band, good people, good time. So I did that for a while, and now I own a singing telegram company called GiggleGram, giggle-gram.com, 320-230-4444.
Nice.
Just put that out there. Yeah, so I do singing telegrams.
And now, after a career in the cities as a fine actress, you're now back up here in St. Cloud?
Yes, I live back in St. Cloud now, and I'm recovering from it all, so, yeah.
Are you originally from St. Cloud?
I am. I grew up here. I moved out to Vegas and did a comedy show out there for a while, and then went to Tony and Tina's, and look at me now! Yay! What about you, Eric? What you got going on?
Well, right now, I actually took time off for this from King Lear at Park Square. We're in rehearsal for that. So thouest these and all that are still stuck in my head.
Sure.
Yeah, a lot of old English, super boring stuff.
You're never going to get that out of there.
Actually, Lear's not boring.
No?
No, everybody dies. People die of sadness in King Lear. That's what always freaks me out. I am so sad that I will just fall down and die.
They didn't have Xanax back then.
Yeah, they didn't. You could die of anything back then.
Yeah.
You get a cut, you're done. You get a sad heart, you're done. It's horrible. So I'm doing King Lear right now. Just finished up 39 Steps. Did a show called The Mill. You know, really just not working for a living.
Sure.
Not doing anything serious.
Or worthwhile.
Not at all. But we got the opportunity to do this show, and I want to talk a little bit about the first segment we're going to do in the show tonight, because I am, one of my hobbies is I'm an old-time radio geek. I'm on all these websites and all these things that you have to pay money for, and you get on blogs and you talk about things, and it's really, and they see, they're all like, oh.
Well, you've got the look for radio. This is really working for you.
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. If you guys were to see him, he's drop dead.
Yeah, okay.
Looks just like Draper from Mad Men.
All right, anyway.
On coke.
So when I got the... If you look at page 3, it says Eric's the funny one. It's just, okay.
This is fiction, then.
I had the opportunity to write a radio drama that I have been, heavily involved with my whole life, and I'm really excited. I based this, and we're going to do it in 3 acts tonight, along with the other acts that are in the show, based on a gentleman named Carlton E. Morse. And I don't know if any of you remember, the greatest radio show ever written was I Love a Mystery. Started very young, 19-year-old Tony Randall, as a matter of fact. Carlton E. Morse is just a genius. And I took this opportunity to not mimic, I don't know what the right word is, an honor, in an homage to Carlton in this little play that I've written for tonight.
I'm sure he'd be
I'm very excited.
Yeah, I am too. This is going to be a great show.
We've got, yes, absolutely. We have an amazing set of actors that I've worked with in the past that are going to be joining us. And well, as a matter of fact, are we ready to head into that? Let's go into our first one.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the first installment of the Granite City Radio Theater's gripping drama, Shades Brigade.
I'm Jack Shade. I run a group of mercenaries. I call us Shade's Brigade. Catchy, huh? We travel the world, getting ourselves in trouble. Because that's what we get paid to do. We arrived in Bourbon Island, located in the Indian Ocean, about 211 kilometers from Madagascar. Me being me and my team. Quinn Shaw, don't let the accent fool you. Trained in the SAS of the United Kingdom Special Forces. Tough as nails. Cooper T. King, former alligator wrestler from a traveling sideshow circuit. Born and raised in the swamps of Georgia. His only weakness? Women. And no filter. Ernie Polk, tough, lovable, loyal, strong as an ox. And a step to the left of smart. I'd put my life in any one of their hands, and frequently have. We are here to meet up with Bal Gandhar Tilak, a social reformer and freedom fighter whose village had been fighting an oppressive government regime for the last 30 years, but had made little progress in the resistance efforts. Recently, a new enemy has arisen and is terrorizing not only his village, but the entire countryside, an evil entity called Dambudzo and his army. Not a normal army. They were, well, that's for later. We were contacted by Tilak through a messenger who made it to India and had his call for help sent by Morse code to London and eventually to my desk. That process took over 3 months, and now I have no idea where the situation stands or whether the village of Salazi is still there, or if Tilak is even still alive, or what Tilak expects us to do. To avoid detection, we parachuted in and paddled a raft to the shore. It's raining. It's always raining. We're warned. It always rains on Bourbon Island.
Cooper, which way did Jack go?
Now, don't get excited, Quinn. Jack can take care of himself.
I can't see a thing through this bloody downpour.
Hey, did you hear that?
That's the natives around here, Ernie. We have to keep a low profile. There's no telling who is friend and who is foe.
Well, I say we just ask them.
Oh, that's a good idea, Ernie. Why don't you do that? And while you're at it, ask them if they can round up some hamburgers and a pot of joe.
Quiet, you two. Listen, they've stopped.
That's Jack's signal.
It's coming from over there by that cliff. Let's move out.
Hey, here he is. Hey, you Jack.
Well, boys, we're in it now. We've got to figure out who the friendly element of the natives are around here.
Yeah, and I hope Bourbon Island lives up to its name. I could use a belt.
Cool it, Cooper. This is no vacation.
Hey, you want I should talk to him, Jack?
Ernie, don't be absurd. We have to...
In fact, Ernie, that's exactly what we're going to do.
What?
You're
Jack,
drinking your bath water,
boy. You can't be serious.
Hold on. We have to find him first. Now, I've been doing a little surveying. Ernie, I want you to climb to the top of this rock face. Should get a good view from there. It's the highest point I can find. See if you can spot any kind of camp or village and report back.
You got it, boss.
Then what, Jack?
Well, then we're going to walk to that village he finds and hope they're part of Tilak's freedom fighters.
And if they're not?
I haven't figured that out yet. But I'm guessing we should be ready for a fight.
Hot dog, now we're talking. I was just starting to get bored.
I have to admit, a good row does sound good.
Here comes Ernie.
Hey, they're about half a mile that way, Jack.
I believe he means to say west.
Yeah, that's what I said. That way.
All right, men. Move out. We eventually came to a small clearing just outside the village. We crouched down behind the last ally of trees and brush. All right, everybody. Make sure your pistols are loaded. Find good cover. Take aim. Quinn, go talk to him.
I say, you mean you expect me to just walk up and start a conversation? Hello, boys. Heard anything from Churchill?
Yeah. Take this white rag. Hold it out in front of you.
You think they understand what that means?
Nope. Look, just say T-Lock. That should get a reaction either way.
Then what?
Well, then either run or shake their hands. We have you covered.
Right. Off I go then. Have tea ready when I get back.
Man, oh man, Jack. This rain is coming down pretty hard. I mean, I can see movement, but I can't make out much more. I gotta tell you, I don't even really know what I'm aiming at.
If anything comes running this way, don't shoot at the first one. That'll be Quinn. Shoot at the rest.
I don't remember you telling Quinn that part.
I don't remember him asking.
Hey, something's happening. I think it's Quinn, and he's moving pretty fast.
Everybody stay down. Keep aim steady.
I can't make nothing out, Jack.
Steady, Coop. Here he comes.
Hey!
Hey, I can see him, but I don't see no one else.
Hold your fire! Stay down!
Quinn, what is it? What's happening?
Jack, I don't know. I've never seen anything like it. It was horrible. It was...
Did you ask him about Churchill?
Spit it out, son. What is it?
They're not human, Jack. There's some kind of beast. And the smell. Oh, I can't even tell you.
Well, what are you talking about?
I got close enough to the village, and I could make out a figure through the rain. I started toward him, and as I got closer, I realized he was very tall. Had to be 7 feet tall, Jack. And as I approached, I realized he was holding a spear or weapon of some sort. I called out T-Lock, just like you said, and he turned around and... Oh, Jack, it was some kind of half-man, half-gorilla. His eyes pierced through the rain, and they were bright red, and he moved, and he came at me. It was so fast. I've never seen anything like it. I couldn't move out of the way fast enough, so I braced myself, and I fell to my back, and I pulled out my bowie from my boot, and I held it up. It caught him off guard, and as he came down, I pierced him, and he flipped over me. He wasn't moving, and I just ran back here. Jack, what is it?
Well, whatever it is, his comrades have found him, and it's only a matter of time till they head this way. We have to move out. We began a hasty retreat to the northeast. The rain wasn't letting up, and we were up to our ankles in jungle floor. We were at a disadvantage. We didn't know the terrain. We didn't know exactly where we were, where we should be going. T-Lock's message didn't have a lot of details, but Bourbon Island is small, very small. So we had to keep going, and that got going for us. We just kept moving and stay away from whatever was going for us, whatever they were.
Jack, look. The rain is letting up.
Well, what do you know?
My clothes feel like I'm wearing 40 pounds of pancakes.
Oh, don't say pancakes.
Oh, pancakes, 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 pancakes.
What a charming and eloquent debate. If only my mates at Oxford could see me now.
Just keep it down, you lugs. Sky was clearing and the sun poked through, and in the same instant, we could finally see clearly and could have a look around. And then, out of nowhere, I was grabbed from behind. I had no idea what was happening to any of the others. All I knew was I was flipped on my face. I was pressed into the jungle floor. Someone or something was on my back. My arms and legs couldn't move. I could barely breathe. And the ringing in my head was from the hit. It was making it impossible to hear anything. I was beginning to lose consciousness. Where was my brigade? What happened to them? Was I about to die with some sort of monkey on my back? When I came to, I was staring at a ceiling of palm leaves. I tried to raise my head, but a hand touched my forehead and gently pushed it back down.
Rest, my friend.
Who? Where am I?
You are safe. All is well.
Next to me was a man in a long burnoose. Around his neck were heavy, colorful beads. Someone else was seated at my feet. I couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman. It was looking down. And then its head slowly rose. It was then I realized it was a woman. And before I could say hello, she turned her head all the way around. Completely. I was having a hard time breathing. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. It should have been the back of her head, but it was a face. Different than before, not quite human. And then I realized she had two faces. The back of her head looked like a hyena. It was covered in long black hair. I had to squint and shake my head to make sure I was seeing things right.
That is Akashi. Do not be frightened.
And then the back face made a noise at me. And then it nodded at me as if it understood. Where are my men? Where are we? Who are you?
I am Tilak. I sent for you. Thank you for coming.
You're Tilak. Well, nice to meet you. Where are my men?
Your men are well. They are also recovering. My apologies for the rude welcome. We cannot take chances, but you are all safe here in Salazie, for the time being.
Where do things stand, Tilak?
Dambudso and his army advance further every day and leave no survivors. They leave a trail of bloodshed, killing every man, woman, and child in every village. Every day becomes more difficult.
Well, where did he come from, Tilak?
My village spent many years fighting our oppressive government. We have no freedoms, not enough food, and disease is rampant. The resistance has very low morale, and the situation is very, very desperate. And just when it seemed that things could not get worse, Dambudso and his army arrived, as if out of thin air.
Well, what do you need from us?
We are facing an army from the devil himself. They are not men. They are demons. Giant, foul-smelling, and without souls. They are Wendell.
I think Quinn has had the honor already.
Dambudso brought them to life. The only way for them to die is if Dambudso dies. We need you and your men to find Dambudso and bring with you the only thing he fears, the only thing that can kill him.
Why us?
Your reputation as fearless men precedes you, and the only man that can possibly enter the temple of Dambudso must be fearless and without sway. No such man exists in the resistance anymore. No man in the resistance dared to enter the temple of Dambudso. The reputation of the brigade is known world over. You are our only hope. I can think of no one else who would dare go into the temple of Dambudso.
Yeah, that about sums it up. Fine line between bravery and stupidity.
However, you will have a guide. The only one left among us that can dare enter the temple.
And who is that?
The Kashi.
What exactly is a Kashi?
A Kashi is a sacred uniting of man and nature. They come direct from our God to help us and to be our guide. As mysterious and sudden as they arrive, they disappear. But they always arrive when we need them most. Some are not Kashi. They are the devil's warriors in disguise. This Kashi was standing at the door of my hut a few months ago.
Well, how do you know you can trust this one?
She is half woman. A female Kashi can always be trusted. Half a man is no man at all.
Jack! Oh, there you are. Look, Jack, we got... What in the name of my Aunt Cassie is that?
Relax, Coop. Apparently, it's on our side.
Well, okay, but if you don't mind, I'll wait on shaking his hand.
Mr. Cooper T. King, I presume. I am Tilak.
Oh, yeah. Well, nice to meet you. Hey, do me a favor and turn around for me, will you, fella?
For what purpose?
I want to make sure that's your only face.
It is, Coop. Listen, get the other man. We got some planning to do.
All right, what are we doing, Captain?
Well, Two-Face here is going to deliver us to Dambudzo's doorstep. I'm sure we'll have to fight some of those things that Quinn ran into along the way.
Oh, all right. Well, that sounds like fun to me. Let's kill us some giant monkeys.
I noticed that the Kashi was turning its head again, twisting all the way around slowly, until I was looking into the face of the woman again. I hadn't noticed before, but she was strikingly beautiful. She put up her hand to my shoulder, slowly stood. She was looking me right in the eye, right into my soul.
Mr. Shade, you will follow me. We must be going. Bring your courage. You will need all of it.
All right. We'll have Act 2 and Act 3 of Shade's Brigade coming up in the show. Once again, you're listening to the Granite City Radio Hour. And thank you so much for joining us on the air and live here at the Pioneer Place Theater. Yeah. We have an unbelievable treat for you. We were listening to these cats warm up, and they are awesome.
To say the least.
Amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, and KVSC listeners, put your hands together for Collective Unconscious.
River, river, where you go? River, river, I must know. River, river, if you dare, river, river, take me there. 'Cause I know there will be better days. Well, I know only time will lift this haze. Yeah, I know that wind is bound to blow. I know that river's always. River, river, carry me. River, river, if you care. River, river, take me there. 'Cause I know there will be better days. Yeah, I know only time will lift this haze. Well, I know that wind is bound to blow. That river's always flow, flow, flow.
If you wanna, you can go to China. If you wanna, I can come along. If you wanna, you can go to China. If you wanna, I can come along. If you wanna, you can go to China. If you wanna, I can come along. If you wanna, you can go to China. If you wanna, I can come along. Hey!
If you wanna, you can go to China. If you wanna, I can come along. If you wanna, you can go to China. If you wanna, I can come along. If you wanna, you can go to China. If you wanna, I can come along.
Ladies and gentlemen, Collective Unconscious. I want to make you come on up here. Once again, you are listening to Granite City Radio Theater, and we are live on the air at KVSC here in St. Cloud, and we are also broadcasting live from the beautiful Pioneer Place Theater here in downtown St. Cloud. Muggsy is with me. I heard you refer to yourself as the artistic director for the band.
No, you didn't hear me say that.
Well, they weren't around.
Well, all right, if they weren't around, then yes. That's me. I'm the artistic director of the band.
How long you guys been together?
Since 2000.
Wow, and you guys been playing, are you all from St. Cloud, or?
More or less.
Yeah, surrounding area.
Nobody wants to admit it, or?
Right.
Yes.
Monty.
Back again.
Fantastic. What would you describe your genre of music as?
Like to do anything that has lots of vocal harmonies and several guitar players playing at the same time. We like our we like our Beatles. We like our Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. We like our The Band.
The Outfield?
No.
Good boy.
Not a lot of the outfields.
Well, I hear vocal harmonies. And
yes.
Josie's on vacation far. Okay. Anyway.
Leave it to the band, Eric. Leave it to the band.
You're the talent.
No, I wouldn't use that word either. Nice job. You guys are fantastic. Let's hear for Collective Unconscious. Thank you. Now, a little bit later in the program, we're going to find out exactly where you can see more of Collective Unconscious, and we'll get you that information and website and all that kind of stuff. The band used to be, you guys are also called Shake a Hamster, right?
No, we don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. What kind of freak makes up a name like Shake a Hamster? Yeah. What's up with that?
All I know is there's a joke I'm not telling, so we're moving on. Hey, it just so happens with that piece of trivia that we have even more trivia coming your way next year in the Granite City Radio Theater. The Granite City Radio Theater Trivia Contest being hosted by your very own quizmaster, Mr. Dan Barth.
Good evening, radio fans, and welcome to the Granite City Radio Theater Trivia, a game designed to challenge the minds of our contestants while pointing out their extreme lack of knowledge of elementary level questions, while giving you, our listening audience, a wonderful opportunity to boast your extreme intelligence regarding useless tidbits of information. I am your host, Dan Barth, and joining me this evening is my partner in trivia crime and designated scorekeeper, Mr. Jay Terry. Yeah. How are you tonight, Jay?
Well, I'm very excited for the inaugural Granite City Radio Theater Trivia. It's even brought us a brand new egg timer.
A brand new egg timer? Wow, you really have gone all out. Tell you what, why don't you introduce our distinguished contestants this evening?
My pleasure. In seat number one is a true mover and shaker in St. Cloud community. Please welcome the executive director of the St. Cloud Downtown Council, Miss Peg Gustafson.
Welcome to Granite City Theater, Peg. Any exciting things happening in downtown St. Cloud you'd like to share with us this evening?
That I'm really exciting and I'm going to win no matter what.
I love that attitude. Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Absolutely.
Who's up next, Jay?
In seat number two is a 1989 magna cum laude graduate of SCSU and leader of our fair city. Please welcome the mayor of St. Cloud, the Honorable Dave Kleiss.
Mayor Kleiss, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to have a little fun with us this evening. What does it mean to have a major university like St. Cloud State in our community?
Oh, it's huge. It's a tremendous amount of energy. There's a opportunity for a lot of employers to have employees and a lot of opportunities actually for students to become employers. I did after I graduated in 1989.
That is true. Plus, they have a rock-solid radio station, huh?
Yeah, that's actually probably the main...
Thanks so much again for being here tonight. Jay, who's our final contestant?
And in seat number three is perhaps the most recognizable woman in our community. She's involved in dozens of organizations, charities, and is community advisor aboard of KVSC Radio, an adjunct professor at St. Cloud State University, and a local businesswoman. Please welcome Julie K. Peters.
Hiya, Julie, and welcome. It's been 20 years since you and I first met. Tell me what it is about St. Cloud State University that's so thrilling to you.
Thrilling is no doubt about it, hands down. The students. I mean the students. All shapes, all sizes, all colors, gift wrap. They're so gorgeous. I don't care if they're from across the block, across the street, or around the globe. Wow, we have a wonderful opportunity to meet a lot of people here.
Couldn't agree more.
But Dan, don't forget also the activities, the students and activities at SESU. The arts. Yeah? Yeah. Sports. I mean, things like KVSC.
It's an hour-long show.
Okay. I'm still going to win.
Thank you all again. Okay, contestants. Let's get down to the business of trivia. The rules of the game are really quite simple. We'll have three rounds of trivia with subject matter ranging from general knowledge to sports to pulp culture to science. I take great pleasure in telling you that all these questions were formed off the top of my head, and there's an excellent chance that many of the answers are wrong. But since I'm in charge of all question disputes, my answers are going to stand. So I'd like to ask our live studio audience not to yell out questions, as this is a very competitive contest, and our contestants are playing for a fabulous prize, I think. Jay, are we having a fabulous prize?
I do not believe that was in the budget.
Okay, that's right. We're working under a grant. Okay, then. Let's pretend you're playing for a fabulous prize. And for those of you listening at home, at work, or in your car, feel free to shout all your answers as loud as you want. Just keep your eyes on the road if you're driving and no texting. All right, contestants, our first round is a buzz-in round. Well, I'll read a question and the first contestant to buzz in will answer. Now, since we are working under that grant, we didn't have enough money in our budget for buzzers. So Peg, you have a little desk bell. Give it a try. Very nice. Mayor Kleiss, you have the honor of buzzing in on a cowbell that was left behind by the rock band here. Very nice. Actually, more cowbell.
More cowbell?
More cowbell. There we go. Cowbell. Very good, yeah. And finally, Julie, you have a bell that was part of a production of It's a Wonderful Life. So besides being your buzzer, every time you ring it, an angel's going to get its wings. So very nice. Perfect. All right, Jay, each correct answer in this round is worth 5 points, so please keep track. If you do lose track, you know, we'll make something up. Okay, hands on your bells, contestants, here we go. What is the only state in the United States that only has one syllable in its name? Peg.
I don't know, I just wanted to ring my bell.
That is incorrect. Julie, Mayor Kleiss?
Maine.
Maine is correct. 5 points for the mayor. Interesting fact, did you know that 90% of America's toothpicks are made in Maine? Very important. Question two. Queen Elizabeth II recently celebrated her Diamond Jubilee. How many years is that?
60.
Julie?
50? 100.
100 is incorrect. Mayor Kleiss?
60.
60 is right. Queen Elizabeth took over right after her father, George VI. Mayor Kleiss? Question three. What reality TV show contains the characters Ronnie, Vinny, The Situation, and Snooki? Mayor Kleiss?
Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore is right. I am so glad to see you have time for such intellectually stimulating television with your busy schedule.
It's on our government access channel.
Question four. On what racetrack does the Kentucky Derby take place?
A big one!
Big one, that is incorrect, but save that thought, it'll work in a later question.
Churchill Downs.
Churchill Downs is correct, Peg, very good.
I don't get out much.
One more question. What religious group migrated westward to Great Salt Lake City, Utah in 18... Mayor Kleiss.
Mormons.
Mormons is correct, yes. Now, I'm not certain how the presidential debate is going tonight, but you may want to brush up on your Mormon trivia a bit. I really thought that would get a boo. Final question. What is the scheduled date for the end of the world? Mayor Kleiss.
December 21st.
That is correct. Of 12.
Wait, what year?
2012, yes. Although difficult to prove, it's quite possible that the Mayans were simply counting down to the premiere of the movie The Hobbit. But, no. All right. I do have one more question. Hands on buzzers. What is KVSC's legal ID that needs to be read at the top of every hour? I'll answer that for you. KVSC St. Cloud. There. You are listening to 88.1 KVSC St. Cloud, your sound alternative. Okay, contestants, that brings us to the end of our first round here at Granite City Radio Theater. Jay, how did our contestants do?
Well, after taking a little tally, Peg has 5 points. Mayor Kleiss has 25, and Julie has garnered a total of zero.
A total of zero? All right, this is good.
It's a nice round number.
Very good. We'll see if we can speed things up a little bit. You don't need your buzzers anymore. I'm going to ask each of you one question, multiple choice. We'll start with you, Peg. Since this is a musical theater, we thought it'd be kind of fun to test your knowledge of musical theater. And by the way, incidentally, Pioneer Place is currently running the musical Little Shop of Horrors one more weekend, Thursday through Sunday. Tickets at pb5.com.
Shameless plug there, Dan.
Oh, I've got more of them. All right, Peg, here we go. What animal does the Broadway show Cats feature? Is dogs, cats, or killer whales?
Let's see, that is a tough one. Let's go with cats.
Cats is correct. Well done. Bye, boy. Mayor Kleiss, this one's for you. In the hit musical Fiddler on the Roof, where does the fiddler play his fiddle from? The porch, the roof, or D.B. Searles?
I think that was Shameless Plug number two.
It was Shameless Plug number two.
The roof?
The roof is correct. Very good. All right, Julie, here you go. Put you in the game here. What was the name of the main little orphan in the musical Annie? Dorothy, Shirley, Annie.
Annie!
Annie is right. Okay.
On the board.
She is on the board. Okay, that is going to bring us right into our lightning round. Okay, these are all true or false questions. 45 seconds to answer as many as you can. We'll begin with the person in last place. Who would that be?
That would be Julie.
All right, Julie, here we go. 45 seconds, true or false. Ready? Look at me. Ready? True or false. That's all you got to do. You're an adjunct professor. You're used to this. Don't make the T look like the F. Here we go. Number one, an orca is a whale.
Yes, true. False,
it's a dolphin. Number two, 65% of all statistics are made up.
Yeah, sure.
That is true. More people are killed annually by donkeys than in airplane crashes.
True.
That is true, very good. There are 625 dimples on a regulation golf ball.
True.
False, it only has 366. Almonds are a member of the peach family.
True.
That is true. Very good. The national anthem of Greece has 48 verses.
Wow.
That is wow.
Yeah, wow. That's, you know, oh, it's true.
It's false. It has 158 verses. Oh. Yeah. Oh, and trick, there was our trick. Buzzer. How did you do, Julie?
Three right.
Very good, Julie. Three right. That gives you, yep, 10 points each. Gives you a grand total of 40 points. 40 points. Peg Gustafson, are you ready?
I'm ready.
45 seconds on the clock, Jay. Here we go. There are more chickens than people in the world.
True.
That is true. A turkey can drown if he looks up while it's raining.
True.
That is true. Hostess Twinkies are 36% air.
False.
That is false. They're 68% air. Elvis had a pet rabbit named Scatter.
True.
Nope, it was a pet monkey. Super glue will not stick to Teflon.
False.
No, that's true. It won't. A French kiss is known as an English kiss in France.
False.
That is true. Elephants are the
Have
only mammals
there?
That cannot no. jump.
Say that again.
Elephants are the only mammals that cannot jump.
False.
No, that's true. It really is. Oh, there it is. Well done, Peg. Give a round of applause. That moves you up to 50 points. All right, Mayor, you have 30 points now. You're going to need at least two to win, but we'll do the full 45 seconds. Are you ready?
Ready. I suppose I could just say true to everything and that would do it, huh?
No, I'm going to pick all falses
all right.
then.
All right. Then I'll take that back.
The index finger of the Statue of Liberty is 4 feet long.
True.
No, it's false. It's 8 feet long. The Hundred Years' War lasted 116 years.
True.
That is true. Very good. Blueberry jelly beans were specially made for President Jimmy Carter.
False.
That is false. They were made for President Ronald Reagan. 41% of all Americans lie daily.
False. That's
that
low.
Is false. 91% yeah. do. Rubber bands last longer when refrigerated.
False.
No, that's true. You get a lot more out of them. Oh, there we go. How did he do?
He had four correct.
Four correct with a grand total of 70. Ladies and gentlemen, our trivia champion is Mayor Dave Kleiss.
What do I get? Where's the prize?
Actually, Jay, I do hold in my hand some very special gifts. They're a gift certificate to Nick's Third Floor, a brand new restaurant at D.B. Searles right next door.
All right. Wow.
Thank you so much to our listening audience for joining us this evening for the trivia portion of the Granite City Radio Theater. Remember, KVSC is your trivia headquarters this February 8th through 10th as they present their 34th annual KVSC Trivia Weekend with 50 hours of nonstop trivia fun. This year's theme is Trivia 2013, A Space Oddity. More information is available at kvsc.org. Let's hear it. Thank you to our contestants, Peg Gustafson, Mayor Dave Kleiss, Miss Julie K. Peters, my trustworthy sidekick, Jay Terry. And now, KVSC St. Cloud returns you to the jungle for the continuing adventures of Jack Shade and his fearless Shades Brigade.
We'd been walking through the jungle for about half a day, day and a half or so. No rest. It wasn't time. In order for this to work, we had to get to Dambudzo's temple undetected. Stopping to sit or sleep only increased the chances of being seen or stumbled upon by his army of beasts. We walked in a single file line with the Kashi at the front, but I couldn't take looking at her back anymore, with that hideous hyena face staring at me and occasionally howling. I moved up beside the Kashi.
This is my first experience with someone like you. Can you tell me where exactly you come from?
I am from the hearts of the village of Salazi. I am here because they believe me to be.
Riddles. Why is it every time I run into someone or something that doesn't make sense in my reality, I get riddles?
To me, it's not a riddle. It is truth.
So you appear because of a collective consciousness desires you to be so?
In a matter of speaking.
So, we didn't ask for you. How come we can see you?
It is desired that you do.
I say, bloody hell.
No kidding. Jack, can't you wear a hat or something?
Yeah, I gotta tell you, your other half is pretty unnerving. Why do you...
I am God and nature in one. I am guided through the jungles by that part of me.
Couldn't it just whisper directions to you?
We are getting close. There are many Wendell in this part of the jungle. I can smell them.
You sure that's not Ernie? You know, I'm getting pretty tired of your talking.
Yeah, well, I'm just plain getting pretty tired. Jack, where are we at?
I don't know, Coop. Just keep following the lady. We'll figure.
There's them drums again.
Chilling.
Everybody hold. Get low. We all knelt down, and I looked up to see the Kashi still standing, looking into the far corners of the jungle. The hyena face was sniffing the air.
Jack, all this walking and being quiet and, well, gosh darn it, I'm just itching for some action. Why don't we just rush them and get it over with? Heck, they won't know what hit them. They're too busy playing drums.
It pains me to agree, Jack, but this has gotten tedious.
You win your funny words.
Hush, all of you. We wait for information from the Kashi. The Kashi was motionless, staring into the depths of the jungle darkness. It seemed like hours we sat there perfectly still. The only thing I could hear is our breathing, the rain on the jungle canopy, and the drums that were getting louder and louder, which meant closer.
Jack, they're very close.
Close, heck, they're right on top of us and all around us.
Steady. Stay steady, boys. Be ready.
I'm ready, Jack. Come on, monkey men. Show yourself.
The rain. It stopped just like that.
You know, I know quiet, and this ain't a good quiet.
We stayed motionless. I looked up and noticed the Kashi was gone, just vanished. Well, we're on our own, boys.
Where did the pretty lady dog go?
Just then the jungle came alive and everything was moving and fast. The Wendell weren't yards away where I thought they'd effortlessly moved right next to us, inches from us, without detection. And then they attacked. I was on my back in an instant, face to face with a giant foul-smelling beast with sharp teeth so big and his long mouth was unable to contain them. So strong, his hands around my throat, I reached down toward my boot, found my knife, and stabbed it into his side. I jumped to my feet and looked around. They were everywhere. My men were fighting valiantly. One thing we figured out quickly, however, they may be big and strong, but they weren't smart or good fighters. If it wasn't for their sheer numbers, I would have called it easy. The second we put one down, another one would be on us.
Come on, bring it, come on!
The fight continued for what seemed an eternity, one right after the other. I was tired, exhausted, and on my last ounce of adrenaline, I rose to my feet, knife in hand, turned to face what was most certainly my final fight. This was it. It was all I had. I was done. And as I stood waiting, I slowly realized that it was done. They were gone. I spun around to find Cooper and Quinn behind me, dazed, bloody, heads darting back and forth.
Are they done?
Oh, heck, I don't trust that. Where'd they go?
Stay alert. They can't have gone far.
They are gone.
Son of a jumping frog!
Where in the world? Where did you come from?
Nice of you to show up, Kashi. Where have you been?
No time for questions. We must move.
Listen, I'm not moving my men another inch until I get an answer.
No time for answers.
Well, make time. Where did you go? If you're here to protect us and guide us, why did you disappear when we needed you most?
I did not disappear. I was here.
Doing what? Placing bets?
They retreated, did they not?
Yeah. Why?
I gave them something.
What was that?
A trophy of their hunt.
A trophy? What do you mean, a trophy?
Your friend.
Our friend? What the... I looked around, realized that Ernie was gone. Ernie? You gave them Ernie.
Why, you two-faced lion, I don't care if you are a woman. You got this coming?
Cooper made a step toward the Kashi with his fist held high. She raised her hand. Cooper was frozen mid-swing.
What the... I can't move.
It is my will.
Jack, I think we've been double-crossed.
You have not been deceived. You must trust me. Follow me.
Well, what about Ernie? You just gave them Ernie. We gotta go save him.
That is precise. We must go. To find the temple, we must find your friend. To find your friend means we have found the temple.
I'm starting to understand this. You let them take Ernie so we could follow them back to the temple.
That is correct.
Still frozen over here. A little help?
There you are, mate.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, look, there's got to be a better way than that.
Poor Ernie. He probably thinks we're dead, and he's next.
He will be fine. For now.
What do you mean, for now?
We must follow, quickly. Once they arrive at the temple, your friend will be part of their victory ritual.
Why do I get the feeling that's not a banquet with some speakers and awards?
What is the victory ritual?
They will sacrifice him.
Sacrifice?
Yes. Time is of the essence. We must be on our way.
All right. Boys, let's move out. We started out stepping over dead Wendells. We made our way about a mile through the jungle and came to a clearing on the top of a hill. And there, in the distance, about 500 yards away, we could see it. Dambudzo's temple. It was gigantic, 8 stories high, made of stone. It had a main gate, a drawbridge. That was about 3 stories high. The Wendell army was everywhere, on guard, on the ground, and high up in the towers. No matter what side we came from, we were bound to be seen. And even if we made it, happened to get to the temple, how we were gonna get in was beyond me.
Well, that's easy enough. Well, I should go and knock and ask if they have seen Ernie.
Jack, we don't stand a chance.
I have to agree, Coop. How exactly are we supposed to get in there?
We will walk.
Well, I didn't think we was gonna fly.
They move in and out of the temple without main gate coming down. Look close.
I started to watch the Wendell army closely and realized that the numbers were increasing. Couldn't tell where they were coming from, but it wasn't the main gate. It remained closed. Pulled out my binoculars and peered into the crowd of Wendell. I realized that they were appearing as if from nowhere. And then I saw it. They were coming up from the ground. Tunnels!
I say, what is that, Jack?
They're coming up from underground. There has to be a tunnel system to get in and out of the temple. Everybody, spread out. Start looking for a hole or indentations. We've got to find a way into that temple. Everybody spread out about 100 yards apart, began searching the ground.
Hey, Jack! Over here!
What is it, Coop?
Right here, Jack. On the side of this hill. Well, this big boulder shouldn't be here. It's been put here by somebody. I'll bet you dollars to donuts if we move it. We'll find the opening.
Good eye, Coop. Everybody, put your shoulder into this rock.
There we are. Look at that. Cooper was right.
That's a tunnel entrance, all right. We'll need a light. Hand me that stick. Coop, give me your pants.
Oh. What for, Jack?
Just give me your pants.
Right. Well, here you go, Jack. Okay, but I don't get it.
Oh, Cooper, what a simply marvelous set of drawers.
Shut up, Quinn. These are from my ma.
I say, are those kittens?
Yeah, they're my lucky underwear. Okay, now stuff it.
The mighty Cooper T. King and his kitten underwear.
Hey, Jack, what are you ripping up my pants for?
I just need the legs. Here, put these back on. You're wearing shorts now.
Oh, dagnabbit.
Here, wrap the end of the sticks with the cloth. Hand me the kerosene, Quinn. There we go. Now, light it. Torches. Let's head in.
I will not be joining you on this part of the journey.
Why? Where are you going now?
I must find your friend. You must find your friend. I will find Dambuzo.
How are you going to do that?
Make your way into the temple. Find your friend. Once you have him, you will find me. Look for the main hall. I will need your assistance if I am to defeat Dambuzo.
How will we know where the main hall is?
You will know.
Well, I hope there's no dress code in the main hall. I look like a dang fool.
At least it covers up your kittens.
Shut up.
All right. Boys, let's head in. Keep moving in the directions of the temple. We should be able to find our way.
Jack, is it just me? Or are these walls moving?
The exciting conclusion of the Shades Brigade and the Beasts of Bourbon Island will continue, and thus brings an end the first half of the Granite City Radio Theater. We'll see you back in the radio for about 15 minutes. For our studio audience, please to take a moment to fill out our survey located up front in the Veranda Lounge's fireside room. And for our listening audience, you can find the same survey online at kvsc.org. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Collective Unconscious.